Kate Lochte has arrived in the studio, and on the phone we're speaking with actor John Chappell, who tours as Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, and brings his performance to Greenville tomorrow night.
Mr. Chappell, hello.
Well, hi. How are you? Good to talk to you, Kate.
Awful nice of you to make time. And for our listeners, up front, the show is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, $10 for adults, $5 for students, and it is at the Felix E. Martin Jr. Hall. And Mr. Chappell, you, there I go again. I keep wishy-washing between Chappell and Chappell, but I know
well,
it's Chappell.
Well, that's all right. I should tell you that our family originated in eastern Kentucky, and half the family says Chappell, and the other half says Chappell. My father said both were wrong. He said it's the same emphasis on both syllables. He said it ought to be Chappell, but nobody will say it that way, so just pick one.
Tell me how Hal Holbrook helped you with your presentation and how you think yours differs from his.
Well, I don't know about the second question. The first question is, of course, you know, he created the idea of giving us an actor's portrait of Mark Twain in the form that Sam Clemens himself used. He traveled the world. He appeared on platform after platform after platform, and he was in effect a stand-up humorist, filling houses and bringing people to gales of laughter in his own time. And in fact, the agency that I traveled through, the Alka-Hest agency, years ago, Ralph Bridges, who was the first of the Bridges family that I really worked with, said, John is the third person that we've represented performing as Mark Twain. Before this, we represented Hal Holbrook. And in my grandfather's time, there was a band named Sam Clemens who did the act.
Boy, that's some continuity.
Well, Alka-Hest has been around since 1896. What? You know, before Hal Holbrook did Mark Twain Tonight, Emlyn Williams put Charles Dickens on the stage, performing as Dickens in the way that Dickens himself performed on the stage. I think maybe that was the first of these types of recreations of a person in the form that they themselves had created in their lifetime, that is, their stage performance. What Holbrook did, which was go beyond just doing what Twain did on the platform, he used other parts of what Twain had written, work them into, I think he described it as a sort of an Arabian carpet, that through his own words, we have an encounter, a sort of a living encounter with Clemens as Mark Twain. And I was aware of all this careful editing he had done, and I'd seen other people use it, but I didn't think he should do it without asking him, and I wanted to go down to work with my friend Charles Sherrod in South Georgia. I liked the way that what Twain wrote could make people who otherwise don't agree with each other both laugh and in a sense sort of come together on a point. You know, you can't unlaugh once you get a point. You've been sold. It's too late then. And so I went backstage and asked him in New York, and he said, I don't know why not. He said, I appreciate your asking. So that's how I got started, using his carefully edited material. No two actors are going to be identical, even playing the same character. Try to do the best job I can. I've been doing it a long time. That encounter was in 1968, so you can see how long I've been gluing on the mustache. And I have to use a lot less makeup now.
Tell me what Mr. Holbrook advised you about getting the voice.
Well, I had written him, because I had read on the back of, I think, a record album of his that he had listened to rare recordings of Mark Twain. And that wasn't true. He actually had it. And he said, there aren't any. He said, the timing is in the material. Just stick to it, and it'll get to you after a while. Very good advice. I never really thought the Jumping Frog story worked all that well on the platform. I didn't think it would, I mean. And I hadn't tried it out loud. And a friend of mine teaches high school. And so every year I go to her class, and I read the section that they are studying in Life on the Mississippi as Twain. The reason for that is the timing is in the material. It's not there in Mark's It's only when you read it out loud and the timing gets to you that you understand that a lot of the humor is in the timing, the attitude. Mark Twain says American humor is in the manner of telling. It's not like a punchline sort of, it's the way you do it. And I think that's true of his humor particularly. So I found out, reading it out loud, that it was really funny. It's a funny thing, I should mention that one, because that's the only source we have that's close source to the way Mark Twain actually sounded. And the reason is that he helped a young actor named William Gillette get started. This Gillette's family was in the razor blade business, but he wanted to be an actor. And Twain loaned him money to start his acting career. And he went out and got the rights to Sherlock Holmes and did a play called Sherlock Holmes. It was so successful, he ran that play for 20 years, toured all over the world with it. Then he did another play called Secret Service, and it ran 20 years. So he was a very successful actor and only did two plays and ran 40 years. So, but he was visiting Yale, and they talked to the Yale drama class, and they asked him about Twain, and he imitated Twain telling the Jumping Frog story, and they recorded it. And you can find that now. It's online. It's pretty easy to find now. But it sounds something like this. Well, this Smiley wouldn't bet on anything. If there were two birds sitting on a fence, he would bet you which one would fly first. Well, that pull in the voice, fly first. In Life on the Mississippi, Twain describes the pilot that's teaching him the river, asking him, why do you pull your words so? And he says, well, my mother did it. I suppose that's why I did it. But that word pull seems to be very descriptive of that kind of drawn-out drawl. And in Hannibal, Missouri, years ago, when I first went out there, I met a man named Arch Cameron, who owned and was operating the caves there as a tourist attraction. He had lived all his life, he was 70-some years of age at the time, in Hannibal, Missouri, and he had that same drawl where he pulled his word. So that's what we have to go by, you see. Beyond that, the audience teaches you. When you perform this material with the timing in it, it's a sort of conversation, and obviously the humor is going to be stronger one way than another way, so the audience is also the instructor as to how this should be done on the platform. Twain himself knew that his platform version was different from his literary version in the book. Somebody asked him to read the old Ram story once and handed him a copy of Ruffing, and he said, started reading it, but it wouldn't read. It wouldn't read. So he laid it down and did it, and he did it on the platform, did the platform version from memory, and later wrote that down. So we have from his own hand that and the ghost story in the platform versions, and we also have where a lot of people attended his performances that wrote down what he said. So those are the sources for it.
Hey, in a year's time, how many gigs do you perform as Mr. Clemens?
All of them.
And the number of them would be?
I am superstitious about that. I never look back and count, and I never look ahead and count, because I want to focus just on the one I'm about to do, or the one I'm in at the moment. My late friend Joe Stein, who wrote the book for Fiddler on the Roof, and we met years ago. I asked him, I said, well, what do you think about this? You've written the book for Fiddler on the Roof. You've written something that's going to be done for 1,000 years. And he said, I never think about that. I think about the one I'm working on now. I think that's the best attitude.
Well, would you give us a parting shot as Mr. Clemens?
I'm always sorry to have my name mentioned as one of the great authors, because they have a sad habit of dying off. Chaucer is dead, and Milton, and Shakespeare, and I'm not feeling very well myself. My doctor tells me I'm on the verge of being an old man. I don't know. I've been on the verge of being an angel all my life. It hasn't happened yet. He tells me I need to protect my health, but I don't care to. I don't want to die healthy. I want to die of something. Well, that's enough of that.
Thank you very much for making time for us today. And again, you'll be on stage at Felix E. Martin Jr. Hall Creative and Performing Arts Center in Greenville, Kentucky, tomorrow night at 7. Tickets are...
Well, I'll be out there hiding behind the mustache and a white suit. It'll be Mark Twain on stage. Of course, that's the name of the show.
I thought you were still Mark Twain when I said that. Oh, well. Thanks again for being with us today.
Hey, thanks, Kate. Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Ciao.